All right, ready to dive into something pretty wild.
I'm always up for an adventure. What do you have for us today?
We're looking at excerpts from Alchemical Sex by E.J. Gold.
Okay, that title definitely got my attention.
Me too. And I know you're interested in how alchemy connects to longevity and higher consciousness, so I think this will be right up our alley.
I'm intrigued already. Where do we even begin with something like this?
Well, the book starts off with a pretty bold claim.
Oh.
It says that humans could theoretically live for 900 years.
900 years, that's a long time.
Right. It sounds almost like science fiction. But the author, E.J. Gold, argues that modern life really throws off our natural rhythms. He calls it our organic time flow.
Interesting, like our internal clock is out of whack.
Exactly. And when that clock gets disrupted, Gold says it impacts how long we live.
It makes you think about how stress and unhealthy habits can age us prematurely.
That's a great point. And then the author gets into these things called centrums.
Centrums.
Yeah, he describes them as energy centers in the body, sort of like chakras or meridian points.
Okay, I'm familiar with those concepts. So what about these centrums?
Gold says that if they're blocked or out of balance, it can lead to illness and a shorter lifespan.
So if we can learn to balance these energy centers, we might be able to tap into that longer lifespan potential.
That's what he suggests. And here's where things get even more interesting.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more.
Gold says that real alchemy isn't about, the stereotypical image of wizards trying to turn lead into gold.
Yeah, I get that. It's a metaphor, right?
Right. He says it's about the internal transformation of the human body.
So the real gold is within us.
Exactly. And get this, he views the body as an alchemical laboratory.
Wow.
He says it's capable of creating these higher substances, which are key to expanding our consciousness.
It's like we have this incredible potential locked inside of us, but we need the right key to unlock it.
And that's where alchemical sex comes in, but it's not what you might think at first.
Okay, now you've really got me curious. What does he mean by alchemical sex?
Well, the book is very clear that it's not about romance or pleasure.
Really? So what is it about then?
He describes it as a very disciplined practice. It's about using sexual energy as a force for internal alchemy.
Okay, so we're talking about channeling this primal energy towards something completely different, not just physical pleasure.
Exactly. The goal is to use that energy to create and then utilize these higher substances that can help us evolve.
So almost like transforming that energy into something that fuels spiritual growth.
Precisely. He even talks about sex without romance, suggesting that romantic love can actually distract us from the true potential of sexual energy.
Wow. That definitely goes against our conventional ideas about relationships and sexuality.
It does. And you want to know something even more unconventional?
Lay it on me.
He talks about harems.
Harems, like in the historical context.
Exactly. He suggests that harems weren't just about, indulgence.
Okay, this is getting really interesting. So what does he say about them?
He claims they were actually structured around the principles of alchemical sex.
You mean like ancient alchemical laboratories?
That's what he proposes. He describes specific roles and practices within the harem, and all of it was aimed at achieving longevity and higher states of being.
That is a fascinating take. So are you saying these historical harems were like organized for spiritual development?
Yeah, that's the idea. He even suggests that a key part of this was the transfer of those higher substances between partners.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. So let's say we want to explore this alchemical potential within ourselves. Where do we even start? Are there like foundational practices?
There are, and it's important to remember that we're not jumping into the advanced stuff right away.
Right. Building a foundation first.
Exactly. Gold says we need to develop sensitivity to the subtle energies within our bodies, and he outlines a few exercises for collecting these higher substances from food, air, and even, get this, impressions.
Impressions. What does he mean by that?
It's this idea that we can draw higher substances from the energy of things around us, like a beautiful sunset or the peaceful energy of nature.
So it's about becoming more aware of the subtle energies that are all around us. Not just the obvious stuff.
Exactly.
Can you give me an example of what one of these exercises might look like?
Sure. One exercise involves cultivating a feeling of pity.
Pity.
Yeah, but not just any pity. It's impartial pity for all beings facing death.
Wow, that's deep.
He suggests this allows you to actually draw higher substances from the air.
Huh. It's like using emotion as an alchemical tool.
You got it.
This is all pretty amazing. But is it safe to explore these practices? Are there any risks involved?
That is a great question. And Gold doesn't shy away from the potential dangers. Especially when it comes to interacting with what he calls entities.
Wait, entities? Are we talking about like supernatural beings?
You could say that. He describes them as beings in other dimensions who can feed on human energy.
Whoa, that sounds intense.
It can. He says alchemical sex can be used to interact with these entities, but it's risky.
Risky how?
He says it can lead to a kind of energetic addiction.
Oh, wow. So we have to be careful not to get hooked on that energy.
Absolutely. He stresses the importance of staying impartial and not forming attachments to those entities.
So serious discipline is required.
You got it. He also talks about the dangers of contamination, which can disrupt the whole process.
Contamination, like messing up a delicate experiment.
Exactly. Even things we might think are harmless, like kissing or cuddling outside of the specific alchemical sex practices.
I see. So maintaining those boundaries is really important.
It's crucial. He's very serious about preserving the purity and integrity of the practice. He even describes something called the hermetic seal.
The Hermetic Seal, I've heard that term before, but what does it mean in this context?
Basically, it's about creating a sacred space for the practice within a committed partnership.
So, no outside influences or distractions.
Right. No sexual contact outside the relationship. It's all about maintaining that energetic integrity we were talking about.
It sounds like a serious level of commitment and dedication. And I'm curious, does he actually get into the specifics of what alchemical sex looks like?
He does, and that's where things get really, really interesting.
Okay, I'm ready for it. Tell me everything.
We'll have to save that for next time.
Oh, come on. You can't leave me hanging like
Oh,
that.
no, I know, but trust me, it's worth the wait.
Fine. But you better deliver next time.
I promise I will.
Okay, you left me hanging last time. You're about to tell me all about the specifics of alchemical sex. Spill the beans.
All right. I'm not going to hold out any longer.
Good, because I am all ears.
So Gold gets into some really detailed stuff about specific postures, breathing exercises, visualizations, even using mantras.
Wow. It's sounding more and more like an actual practice.
It really is. It's fascinating how he blends these ancient techniques with this, very specific goal of harnessing sexual energy.
Right. He's not just talking about having sex in weird positions. It's about intentionally channeling energy, isn't it?
Exactly. He even connects this back to ancient practices like yoga and meditation.
Ah, that makes sense, especially with the focus on breath control and energy flow in those traditions.
It's like he's saying that maybe those practices were already tapping into these alchemical principles, but maybe without that specific focus on sexual energy.
So, what are some examples of these postures? Does he like name them or describe what they look like?
He does. One that he mentions is called the Rajasthani.
Okay, that sounds exotic. Tell me more.
Well, it involves the woman sitting on the man's lap, but it's very specific. Her legs are supposed to be wrapped around his hips.
I see. So it's about creating this very intentional, energetic connection.
Right. And he says this posture is particularly powerful for invoking higher entities.
Whoa, we're back to entities again.
They play a big role in this whole system. Gold suggests that these entities are drawn to certain substances produced during alchemical sex.
Okay, so that's where the potential for addiction comes in.
Exactly.
All right.
He emphasizes the need for self-control and discernment. You don't want to become dependent on the energy of those entities.
It's like playing with fire, in a way.
Right. You have to approach it with a lot of respect and caution.
He mentioned avoiding romantic attachments, but are there other emotional states that are important for this work?
There are. One that he really emphasizes is impartiality.
Impartiality. What does that mean in this context?
It's about not getting caught up in your emotions. Like you can observe them, but you don't let them control you.
So detaching yourself from those emotional highs and lows.
Exactly. It's about cultivating a sense of inner stillness and clarity.
I can see how that would be important. If you're working with powerful energies, you wouldn't want to be swayed by every passing emotion.
Precisely. And he also talks about cultivating reverence, but it's not reverence for the entities or even for your partner.
Reverence for what then?
For the process itself.
Huh. So it's almost like approaching alchemical sex as a sacred ritual.
That's a great way to put it.
This is all pretty mind-blowing. But I have to be honest, there's a part of me that's still a bit skeptical. It's a lot to take in.
I get it. Some of these ideas are pretty far out there. But even if we don't agree with everything Gold says, I think there's still value in exploring these concepts. It's about pushing the boundaries of our understanding.
True. It's good to challenge our assumptions and expand our horizons. Who knows? Maybe some of these ideas will resonate on a deeper level and lead us to new insights.
That's what I'm hoping for.
You know, it's pretty wild to think about these data cells carrying so much information. Like practical skills and knowledge, sure. But personality traits, even memories, that's a whole other level.
I know, right? It makes you wonder just how much of who we are comes from, you know, this energetic inheritance from others.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the nature of identity. Like, if we can absorb these data cells from others, where does our individuality even begin? Where does it end?
It's a great question. It's like we're all connected in ways we might not even realize. This network of knowledge and experience that's been passed down for who knows how long.
Definitely makes you feel a little less like an isolated individual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
More like we're all part of something much bigger.
Exactly. And it ties right back into Gold's idea of the essence, that core of our being, the stuff that survives beyond the physical body. Remember that?
Yeah, we talked about it before. And I think you were about to say that Gold connects this to alchemical sex, right?
Yeah. He says the ultimate goal of this practice is to transform that essence, to refine it.
Replace those negative patterns with, what did he say, qualities that help us evolve our consciousness.
That's it. And he takes it even further. He claims that transforming your essence is how you break free from that cycle of death and rebirth.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So like achieving a level of spiritual liberation.
Exactly. It's a pretty bold claim, isn't it? But I have to admit, I'm still struggling to understand how alchemical sex actually changes our essence. Like, what's the mechanism at work here?
Well, he describes it as this process of, you know, consciously working with your sexual energy, like directing it with real intention and focus.
Okay, and I remember him talking about separating ejaculation from the typical experience of orgasm.
Right. It's about achieving this conscious control.
So it's not about just letting go, right? It's about harnessing that energy and using it intentionally.
That's the key. And he really stresses the importance of protecting that energy, too. He calls it higher blood.
And any contamination could mess up the whole process.
Exactly. So it requires constant vigilance, discipline, awareness, every step of the way.
It sounds intense, like a delicate dance. You need to be both incredibly focused, but also willing to surrender to the process.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. And he acknowledges that this path isn't easy. You know, it's not a quick fix or a casual thing. It requires deep commitment.
And a willingness to face those parts of yourself you might rather avoid. Or shadows, right?
Exactly. But he does offer guidance, principles and practices, a roadmap of sorts to help you on this journey.
He compares an alchemical notebook to a map, right? Showing you the steps and how to navigate the different stages.
That's right. And he even goes beyond individual transformation. He talks about tapping into the collective consciousness.
So connecting to that larger web of energy and information that we're all a part of.
Exactly. He thinks alchemical sex can help you dissolve that sense of separation, you know, help you see beyond the limitations of the ego and connect with something much larger.
It's a beautiful vision, not just transforming ourselves, but realizing that we're all connected in this profound way.
It makes you think about the ripple effects, too. If we're able to transform our own essence, what kind of impact might that have on the world around us?
Right, like a chain reaction. Maybe this individual transformation can contribute to a larger shift in consciousness. More compassion, maybe? Who knows?
It's a really inspiring thought, and it reminds us that this exploration of alchemical sex, it's just the beginning. There's always more to uncover, more to ponder.
It's definitely been a mind-bending experience, challenging some deeply held beliefs and really opening my mind to new possibilities. I feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Me too. And that's what I love about these deep dives. They make us question, they make us think, they push us beyond what we thought we knew.
And who knows what other amazing discoveries are out there waiting to be explored.
Well, thanks for joining us on this wild ride into the world of alchemical sex. We hope this deep dive sparked your curiosity and inspires you to continue exploring too.